Cliff College is an evangelical learning community rooted in God's Word and Spirit for the purpose of equipping God's people for practical ministry and cutting-edge missional engagement.
For more than 100 years, we have trained people for mission and evangelism and have seen our students go on to do extraordinary work for the kingdom of God. In this podcast, we'll be hearing some of their stories and finding out what insights they have to share about their ministries and the communities they serve.
Welcome to Ministry Roadmaps, a podcast from Cliff College.
Hello, and welcome to Ministry Roadmaps, a Cliff College podcast. Welcome to today's episode. I'm delighted to say that we're back round the table and we have a new guest with us today. Our new guest today is Alice Young. Do you want to say hello, Alice?
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you with us, and we'll come back to you in a wee minute. Just first off, round the table with me is Ash.
Hi, Ali, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, thanks,
Ash. I'm really excited about this podcast.
Me too.
I'm enjoying the conversation.
Yeah, well, they're infinitely surprising.
Yeah, different things come out of each one, so I'm really excited about what we don't know about Alice that might come up in a minute or two.
I know,
so.
And it's a little while since we had time with Alice.
I know.
Tell us who you are,
yeah,
Ash.
Yeah, I'm Ashley Cooper. I'm the principal here at Cliff, and loving having these stories about hearing how Cliff's impacted lives and transformed lives, and so this is another opportunity to do that, which is great.
Great. And we've got another one of our wonderful students with us today. Julia, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. So I'm Julia. I'm all the way from Brazil.
Yes.
I've been living in the UK for the past 4 years now, being at Cliff for three.
Amazing.
So it's really exciting. You know, Cliff has given me everything I have, basically. And it's really nice to see you again, Alice. And I can't wait to hear what you've been up to.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. My name's Ali McKenzie. I'm Student Welfare Manager here at Cliff, and I'm on faculty as well. Let's go to an ad.
The Cliff Year is Cliff College's gap year for 18 to 25 year olds. Running from September to June, the Cliff Year gives participants the opportunity to invest in themselves and their faith through encountering God in prayer, worship, and community, through being equipped by classroom and practical learning, and through engaging in hands-on mission and ministry in local church contexts. Find out more at cliffcollege.ac.uk/Cliff Year.
Welcome back around the table. Alice, it is great to have you with us. I've done this with every guest that we have on this podcast. I'm going to ask you 12 quick fire questions. This is the bit where everybody's been most nervous.
Oh, of course.
How are you feeling about this?
My heart's pounding.
So 12 quick fire questions. Keep them clean, just need to say. Of course, you will do nothing else, so that's
Thank
fine.
You.
First thing that comes into your head when I ask you these questions. Okay. What years were you at Cliff College?
I was at Cliff from 2019 to 2022.
Great.
I think.
It's fairly recent, so I hope you haven't forgotten just yet. Okay, here we go. What was the favourite thing you studied?
Well, I only studied one thing.
Well, what unit? Favourite unit?
Leadership.
You're a creep. I taught you that. Did I teach you that?
I think so.
Yeah, I did. there you go. Okay, of course it's leadership. Everybody should say leadership. I agree. What was your room number? Or one of your room numbers?
201, I think. That's 201, a good
there
question.
We go. Okay. This should be a really easy question I've asked everybody else. Who was your principal?
Well, Ash, it was definitely you, I'm pretty sure.
Who was your favourite lecturer?
Ooh, can I say Ali McKenzie?
You can. Yes. We're going in for the well creepy session now, aren't we?
Love
Here we
it.
Go.
Love
I mean,
it.
I've never been called creepy, so.
you won't hear it again.
Did you go anywhere on mission with Cliff College?
I did an Argentina trip, but that was as student president.
Yeah, that's great. You did. How often did you walk up the edge?
Surprisingly less than you'd think. Probably about 20 times in 3 years.
Oh, okay, good. How many nights a week did you go to the bridge?
Five on a max week.
On a bad week. What was your favourite Cliff dish food-wise?
Hunter's chicken. And you know, I miss it so much.
It
I keep
is good,
thinking
isn't
about it?
It.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, we need to get you back and have Hunter's chicken.
I keep thinking, do I just book in for a celebration meal and just come on over for that Hunter's chicken?
Aww. Yeah, just book in for a celebration meal and just send an email to Robin in the kitchen saying, can you please make sure there's Hunter's chicken when
we
I come
we
over?
We haven't had it for ages.
No, we haven't had it for a long time. I don't think we've had it since you left.
Oh, clearly there was some link there.
Okay, here we are. Three more to go. Who was your favourite student that you spent time with at Cliff?
Oh, can I say Leah Wottam?
You can say Leah Wottam.
Thank
That's
you,
great.
My dear friend.
Are you still in touch with any students?
I'm in touch with quite a few. Yeah,
okay,
I am.
Good. And final question. Are you ready for this one? And I want an honest answer to this. Okay. Did you ever break any rules?
Oh, probably, but I'm not going to say which ones.
Oh, okay. At least honest was yes, but the...
Yeah, we'll take that.
We'll take that. Fine. Let's go from there.
Yeah. So, Alice, thinking back to your time at Cliff, what are some of your standout memories?
Oh, so I got to be residential at Cliff, which was a joy. I got to do it through COVID, which was an interesting experience, but having free run of the place was a real privilege. You've got fields, you've got buildings, and I'd say some really formational memories made there with community and just being able to be and being able to spend time with God on walks. I really miss that. I miss having the fields and the different things that I took for granted then, and just the community in terms of having the staff around and being able to work so closely with them, but also I guess just making really cool memories with friends and playing sardines. And I guess being able to be a bit of a child in terms of what we were able to do and just making up things was really fun. And yeah, it was a place of education, but it was also a real place of formation in terms of community and faith. And I guess being enabled, loads of opportunities to be enabled. So thank you. That's something I'd love to say thank you for. Yeah.
I think every student seems to play sardines at Cliff at some point.
Yes.
Did you have a favourite hiding place in sardines, Alice?
The Samuel Chadwick lecture room has a cupboard. I squished myself in and got all in bar one toe, or one foot.
For those who are listening and haven't been to Cliff for years, the Samuel Chadwick lecture room is the old library.
Yeah.
It is.
So it has a cupboard. We might put a plaque on that cupboard now, that this is the cupboard that Alice squished herself into.
I once hid, and I don't think I've told anyone this, in the clock tower, and I clung to the rungs of the ladder for about half an hour.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Would not recommend.
You know that question I asked you, did you break any rules?
There was no rule.
I don't think anybody's supposed to go up the clock tower. There we go.
Anyway, moving on.
We can edit
happy memories.
No, you're
happy,
keeping it.
Yeah, happy, happy memories. And Alice, my memory of you is, of course, connected in part to your time as student president. We worked a lot together as the welfare team then. And you talked about being enabled and opportunities. And I remember that you did so much for us when you were student president, and you really embraced the role in a, I would say, quite a unique way. And part of that was COVID. Any big standout memories around those sort of opportunities?
I think I learned loads of core things I didn't necessarily realise I was learning in the moment, but now I'm in my role here in Manchester, and I just kind of look back and I'd be like, oh wow, that was really helpful, such as being able to host celebrations and things, and being able to preach. They've really set me up for some really exciting things. Being able to be trusted with doing a team formational day and going to an outdoor activity centre. That was brilliant to, I guess, have people trust me to be able to do that. And just the honour of being able to sit alongside people and hear their stories, whether that's residential people or whether that's people that have come onto site. And just, I guess, being able to be and being able to hear them and being able to, I guess, go for coffee and hear people's stories is such a privilege. And those are things that I really look back on with fondness.
Yeah, that memory of being alongside people, when I think of you, I think you were very good at that. And Julie, I guess you were first year when Alice was...
I was going to say, I think on my first year, I think everything was so new to me and I was so nervous about everything. I could, a word could have better come out of me. And I remember that we sat loads of times, and then we went for coffee as well, and then you kind of just introduced me to people. It was a special moment that when I look back, I was like, I felt so comfortable. It made me feel so safe.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted in my first year, to be honest.
And Alice, all I remember is, well, it isn't all I remember, but you're the only person in my life who's ever managed to get me on a paddleboard. It was.
Oh yeah.
A very, very.
What a wild time that was!
Oh,
freezing
man.
Cold.
It was so cold, and on a paddleboard. I've not been on one since.
I'm so sorry, but you know what? I do have a brilliant photograph. Which, if this was visual, I'd be able to show Ash a view in a helmet and a wetsuit.
Yeah, yeah. They're images that should never, ever see the light of day, Alice.
You know what? Most people complained, but I actually really enjoyed it. Even though I was freezing cold, yeah, I had a lot of fun.
It was a great day. What was great about it was it was students and staff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just faculty staff. It was just all the staff from the college and the students together having a fun day and building community together. It was just... I went on a paddleboard with Tim Barnes, who's from our estates, and you kind of go, this is just, where in the world would this ever happen?
Yeah.
Other than Cliff College.
Alice, some of those qualities about being alongside people, recognising the value of a story, I guess those are things that remain really important to you in the work you're doing now. And I guess Ash is going to explore that a bit with you now.
Yeah, I am. I'd like us to take just... leaving Cliff for a second or two, and as you and I personally have got some great memories of hosting lots of things together because you were with us during the COVID years, which there weren't many of us on site and not many of us able to do things on site. But leaving the site, just talk us a little bit about where you went, what you're doing, what you're involved in, what ministry looks like for you.
Great. So I'm sure you've heard from some other people on this podcast that have probably had a few bits in between them and then Cliff and now. I left Cliff and went straight into a job that I'm still in. So I live in Manchester, so not too far from the Peak District, close enough that I can go on walks, which is great. And I am the youth and student worker at a lovely church in Salford, so just outside the city centre. And I also run a gap year programme, which is called the New Wine Discipleship Year. I got there. I've been investing in student work, so freshers was a really big time of year for me, developing a youth program and discipling our young people, and that's something that I've been really keen in investing in and gathering people to invest in the young people alongside me with, and I've been there for just under 2 years and it's been a real joy. It's been really fun, and I've been able to hear people's stories and I guess journey alongside them, and it's been an utter privilege.
That's amazing.
And I love going into work.
Where do you see, if somebody said to you over this last 2 years, where have you seen God at work, what would you say?
Poof, that's a big question. In so many different ways. I think part of it is I've seen God at work through the simple things, so through people stepping up in confidence and knowing who their identity is in. I've had the privilege of walking especially closely with a few of the female students, and one of them especially I've seen grow from joining our church around the same time that I started, and now is looking at ordination and is so prophetic, and seeing the call that God has put on her life and seeing her stepping up, and every year or every 6 months I've sat down with her and we've reflected back, just seeing the change that's happened with God working in her life has been insane to see. And again, I can say that for so many of my young people, seeing them grow into young men and women, and being bold to pray big prayers and seeing some of them answered. I've seen God work in little ways and some big ways.
And in terms of challenges over this last 2 years, Alice, having leaving Cliff, packing your bags, driving off, what have been the significant challenges that you faced over that period?
I think moving to a new city for me felt really big. I was moving to a city where I didn't know anyone. My friends that were here had gone. And so personally getting used to working in a church where for lots of people, that's just where you go and worship on a Sunday, and maybe you go to a midweek group in between, but that was my workplace, but also the place where I was to find community. And that was a really huge challenge in terms of just working out, what does friendship look like? Who am I as Alice without the job? And who am I with the job? And what does all that look like within the place that is both somewhere I worship by work? I think moving to a new city and trying to get adjusted to that was big. And then finding my feet within my ministry, where I guess there's loads of different people doing it in very different ways, and trying to, I guess, work out what is the way that I am paving. You know, I'm walking in the footsteps of those that have gone before, but what am I walking in that are my own footsteps? And I guess beginning to navigate what is it that I'm doing with my hands and my feet, that is my vision and what I feel that God's called me into, and not what I feel that I've got to do because of what's gone before. So yeah, it's been an interesting 2 years navigating that and working out what that looks like.
And are you able to look back and see that 3 years that you were at Cliff and see how that has equipped you for the role that you're in? Can you see any direct kind of links into that?
I think loads. I guess personally, like, Cliff was a really formational time for me to work out who I was as in leadership and who I was as Alice. And I guess going into my job that I'm in now, knowing exactly who I was, and obviously that changes in seasons, but I had really good foundations that were put in place personally. And then in leadership, loads of things. Like, there are things within the study, so actually taking practical tools from my BA Mission and Ministry course and looking at different themes. So the topics of things that actually apply to us, such as identity and drugs and crime use and gangs and different things that I'd heard about in theory, and being able to look at that in practicality was really helpful and opened my eyes, because again, hearing it is one thing and seeing it literally on your doorstep is another thing. And again, sitting and journeying with people and having 3 years of being able to do that with Cliff students and friends, to then be able to do that in my job every day, has given me tools of listening and yeah, I guess seeking prayer within all of that as well. So yeah, loads of things. I could name more.
No, that's great. And it's really good, isn't it, just to be able to look back and see. You kind of go, when you start a degree, how is this going to be helpful to me moving forward? And I remember sitting with you in a problem-based learning week that you did around a whole drug issue and county lines. And I remember all that kind of sets of conversations that you did. And hearing you now talk about how those kinds of things actually now have relevance in the roles and in the work is just really good to hear. Mm-hmm. that kind of becomes reality for you.
Yeah. Yeah, really interesting. And interesting hearing you talk about prayer as well, and just the importance of that and the rooting of that. And Alice, one of the things I'm interested in is what sustains you in this ministry? What keeps you able to keep on going on?
That's a great question. I think, well, I've always known spending time with Jesus every day is so important. And I think I'm discovering every day that I'm in ministry practically right now how crucial and how much of a lifeline that is. Spending time and carving time really intentionally out of my day to spend time in the Word, to spend time praying, to spend time listening, and I guess just asking God for insight and asking God for vision and asking Him for energy where I might not be feeling it, has been something that's really, yeah, it's been a lifeline. And the days that I haven't done it are the days where I've kicked myself and been like, come on, I can tell that today was the day that I didn't do that. And so, yeah, I'd say that's been my sustain. And spending time in worship. I love driving around in my car with worship on, and that's something I picked up at Cliff. And I don't necessarily have, I guess, the length of journey that I would have had before, but sometimes I do just go on a drive and put on worship music, because it's something that throughout Cliff and throughout the last 2 years has been something that I'm just able to be me without anyone else around me, just me and Jesus, and have time to think and reflect.
Yeah, so that constant rooting yourself in prayer and worship keeps you aligned with the purposes of God. Yeah. Keeps that connection.
I was going to ask, you know, you were talking about your left Cliff, right? And then you're looking for answers and you don't know how to do. And then I think for me, what I'm asking you is like, how did you know you were making the right step? And how did you know where God was leading you was the right place? And how did you find comfort in that? Because I think for me, I'm struggling with, you know, looking into the future, and I look at all those things, but I'm not sure. I'm asking for God for some direction, but I was like, I sure don't know. It's like, I just finished a third year degree. I'm sure feel as lost as I begin with. So I think I just want to find comfort in your answers and how you find that.
Interesting. That's a really, really good question. And I think it's something that we all work out, and we all somehow have slightly different answers. And I'd say for me, for the next steps after Cliff, it was really daunting, because I was slightly nervous about what if I go somewhere that I'm not meant to be. And there were months where I was convinced I was going to be ending up in the Northeast, which clearly I'm not in. at the moment, but I was convinced that that was where God was calling me to. And then I, on a whim, found this place and I got really excited about it. And for me, getting really excited about something and pushing on loads of different doors is how I guess I feel that God's calling me into something. And it's not that there's like one fixed way. I think that when you're walking with Jesus, there can be many different doors that you can push, and you know, you can walk with him along those doors and along those journeys. Just, yeah, for me, I'd say push them. And if you get excited, and it's something that I guess is going to honour God and you can walk alongside him in it, like, go for it.
Yeah, you can't go far wrong. I remember, Alice, having the privilege of listening to you discern those ways forward. I remember many conversations where we went through the pros and cons of different options. And yeah, it's really exciting to see you on the other side of that and to see you flourish.
Thank you.
Alice, before we kind of come to the life hacks bit of this conversation, I want to just ask you, where do you think you see yourself in the future? I kind of... you can only look back 2 years since leaving Cliff, but when you kind of look ahead, where do you see Alice in 5-10 years time? What do you think is the plan for you?
Do you know, that's a question I ask myself quite a lot, because I have no idea, I guess, in some senses. I've always been someone that when I'm ready for the next thing, I begin to dream, and I've got to a point where I'm here and I'm not dreaming beyond here, really, which is, so for me, for the moment, I know I'm in the right place. And I said when I arrived that I would love to be here between 5 to 7 years, which is when my year sevens would go into year 11 or 13, because how incredible would it be to see my 11-year-olds journey into 18-year-olds or 16-year-olds. And beyond that, I don't know.
Okay,
but I mean,
fine.
Who does? But I think... yeah, I've always said people ministry is what I'm passionate about. So it's not necessarily that I'm passionate about kids or youth ministry specifically or student ministry specifically, but people ministry and being able to do that is what carries me through. And so it might look like me doing something in a totally secular workplace, or it might look like me continuing in a church. But yeah, I haven't begun to dream yet.
Okay, good. Look forward to hearing the dream and seeing the dream.
What's open. And just before we move on to the ministry hacks, I'm interested in hearing a bit more about your New Wine discipleship stuff. What does that look like for you?
So I head up a program called the New Wine Discipleship here, and it's basically a gap year program for people that want to come and work in a church. So they would come and work with a placement church. We've got them all across the country and I run the Manchester hub. So some would sign up, they get 4 days a week in a church where they might be in a specific area of ministry, or they might be doing generally different things. And then 1 day a week they come and they get training with us in St. Philip's in Manchester. And they will have training where you might be looking at who you are, who God is, who God has called you to be, looking at growing a secret life with God, and I guess giving tools to take into their placement churches, but also the rest of their life, and to build some really good foundations. So that's something that's a real privilege to be part of, and to, I guess, help develop and nurture people that sign up when they're between 18 to 24 to come and do that. And you guys have got the Cliff Year, which I guess is quite similar.
And that discipleship's always been a passion of yours, I remember well.
Alice, thank you for sharing conversation with us. That's been amazing to hear that incredible two-year journey of all the stuff you've been doing since leaving Cliff. And we know that God has so much more in store for you. And I look forward just to watching that kind of unfold over the years ahead. So be assured that we continue to pray for you, as we do all our students, but we continue
to
pray for you.
It's actually really nice to see how your BA helps you in so many ways in your life now. It just feels like everything you learned in theory, just in, it's just like real life, and you're doing so incredibly well. It's so nice to hear how far I've come, and it's like, it's really nice.
Great, thank you, Julia, that's really helpful. I'm gonna ask you one final question, which we've asked each of our guests, kind of, are there kind of three ministry hacks or three top tips that you kind of either wish you'd known when you started, or you've learned along the way, or you'd like people to know about? Three things that Alice says, these are really important. Go for it.
These might not be new revolutionary things, but I think they're really important to know. So the first one is surround yourself with other people who are in similar roles. That's not to compare, but that's to journey with. People that get what you're doing, that understand where you're coming from, are really important people to have in your life, because ministry can be really lonely. It can be a really lonely place. And so surround yourself with people that get you, get vaguely where you're at, get your ministry. And again, have an intentional mentor, perhaps, or a spiritual director with that is really, really key. So that's my first top tip. My second top tip, and I've already said it, is prioritize spending time with God and seeking him. Sometimes it can feel like pressure to be reading your Bible as a Christian leader in church every day, or to spend time with Jesus, but it's so important to do. It can be so easy to pop it to one side or feel like you're already doing it when you're in a Christian context or at Cliff College, which is what I found. But prioritize it, spend the time, and God sees that and honors that. And the third one is be confident in what God has called you to do. So if God has called you into where you're at, that is where you're meant to be for this moment. And one of the biggest things is it's not about numbers. It's quality over quantity. You can't expect quick change or quick growth because things take time. So, I guess the question I'd ask out of that is, how are we growing people to be more like Jesus rather than getting people in your building? And so be confident in where God has called you to be. And don't compare, because comparison really steals joy. So be confident in that.
Alice, thank you so much for that conversation. Thanks, that's Alice. Been a real blessing to us. So stay with us, because we're going to do a bit of reflection in a minute and reflect on what God's been saying to us in around the table. But just stay with us. That'd be great. Welcome back, everybody. It's just a moment to reflect on the conversation and to thank Alice again for sharing such kind of some amazing things with us. I just wonder whether around the table, anybody's got anything they want to kind of share back or reflect on from that?
Well, I was really struck by the centrality of leadership in Alice's conversation with us, sort of recognizing and acknowledging that much of what she has done as a leader. And actually, you don't have to be student president or a church worker to be a leader. We're all leaders. We're all in positions of influence. And we are Jesus in wherever we're put, aren't we? And I just thought it was lovely from someone who's known you from the beginning of your student journey to now, just to hear your confidence in that and your growth in that. And I think that's encouraging for us all, isn't it?
Yeah, I think hooking what you said there, something that I thought was really important that you said was the having the relationship with Jesus and putting that on your life every day just is something that we all should prioritize anyway. But I think as a young person, you get so lost in the business of life and, you know, all the excitement and all the new things that is happening. But it's really important to go back to the foundation and just rely on Jesus, because he's the one that put you there in the first place. And, you know, make sure that he's the one that is leading you in the right path.
Absolutely. And there's part of the conversation, Alice, where you talked about reading the Bible and falling in love with that and making sure you stayed there. I was taken back to about 3 years into ministry when I had a moment in my own journey when I reached a point of actually finding it really difficult to read scripture because I was reading it for work and it felt like a work tool rather than something that should give me life. And I found myself 3 years in, early in ministry, you're having to do a lot of prep, a lot of new things. And I felt like I was reading the Bible just for work. And I had to reach a point of going, no, I need to fall in love with this again. I need to understand that I need to read this for me and for my life and for my discipleship and for my journey. And that was a real key moment. I think I could have gone completely a wrong way if I'd not found that kind of moment to go, I need to read this, not for work.
What made that happen for you? Why did you do that?
I think I reached a point where I felt I was very distant from God in about 3 years in. I was tired. It had been busy. I'd taken all the stuff I'd learned from training, all that, and I was full on, and ministry was full on. But I think I was reaching burnout. Mm-hmm. I was reaching burnout both physically, but I was reaching burnout probably more importantly spiritually. Mm. And the key moment comes when either life's taking a tough moment or life feels hard, and you have to just reflect on what is this. Mm-hmm. And I had to just step back and go, I need to do things differently. If I'm on this trajectory, I ain't going to sustain ministry for very long. Mm. Alice, you talked about that. What sustains you in ministry? Yeah. And it is that prayer time, that reading scripture, but not reading scripture because I've got to read it because I'm preaching on Sunday, but reading it because actually this is going to give me life again. And yeah. It's that key moment. It was absolutely transitional for me.
So sort of a reorienting?
Yeah, absolutely. A refocusing, a re-kind of...
And God met you in that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I don't think we talk about that enough, about how it is you work in a church and give all of you, and then kind of just forgetting about yourself and about your own relationship, because you think, you know, you're doing this, so that surely that counts. But it's also how you treat yourself and how you take care of your own relationship with God, and how that is actually the one that's going to sustain you to keep doing what you're doing, and how that should be talked more in churches, I think, especially for leaders. We all go through that. Doesn't really matter your age, but I think it's just something should be more.
I think it's a lesson we often learn the hard way.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Something I wanted to share, I guess, that I was chatting about this morning was Rick Warren was sharing how there's this practice, and again, it was quite convicting to hear, is first word, last word. So having the Bible literally open by your bedside table when you wake up in the morning, you're not going on your phone, you're going to literally just read and read until the Holy Spirit prompts you. It might be 2 words in, it might be an hour in, and doing the same in the evening. So you're waking up with the Bible as the first word and the last word in your life. And again, just finding practices like that that are really simple but also like slightly mind-blowing, of being these are ways that can really help you as a leader and as a Christian, you know, to actually seek Jesus and not just tap on our phone and tap on things that, you know, ping up on our notifications.
Yeah. That sounds like a fourth top tip, really,
that
Alice,
does.
Rather than...
And you know what? I'm going to try that and let you know.
I'm going to see how that goes. Sounds, you're right. It sounds so simple. But the reality is that first word and last word can make a massive difference.
Yeah.
Alice,
yeah.
Thank you so much. Guys around the table, thank you so much.
Thank
That's
you
been
for
amazing.
Having
thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Ministry Roadmaps, a Cliff College podcast. Our question for you today to take away and maybe ponder, and do reach out to us if you want with your answers, or what sustains you on your journey in your life, in your ministry, in your discipleship? What keeps you going? Take care and see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Ministry Roadmaps, a podcast from Cliff College. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Get in touch by email at roadmaps@cliffcollege.ac.uk or find us at Cliff College on X.